Would you stand for our gospel lesson? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and he said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestors David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Months ago, Kevin and I began talking about what our theme for Advent might be. And I had said that I liked an idea that I had heard at a meeting one time, called the waiting room. And it really got me thinking about a lot of things, a lot of waiting that we do. We forget the whole idea of Advent is waiting. And even more, we don't make time for waiting anymore, do we? Christmas begins the moment that Thanksgiving turkey leftovers are put in the refrigerator. The moment we start thinking about Christmas. Actually, if we're going to be honest, a lot of places it starts before Thanksgiving. But it doesn't. We're in Advent right now, which actually means the arrival. Waiting the arrival of Christ. We talked a few weeks ago about the scripture, "Keep your lamps trimmed and burning," because we're called to wait, to be patient. So as we picked the theme and talked about each week, I admit that we were a little loose with the lectionary. We are using the lectionary scripture, but we just mixed it up a little bit in order. So our scripture today, the scripture about Mary, is usually the fourth Sunday of Advent, but I just couldn't wait that long. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. It was too easy. I feel like as we read this scripture, and as I read it every time, I feel like we're eavesdropping on a very private, tender moment with Mary. I often wonder how the writers could even write about this scripture. The scripture does not say that it was Luke and Mary and the angel, or Matthew and Mary and the angel. It was just Mary and the angel. So I think it's what our legal experts would call hearsay. But it's a very tender, moving story. Matthew makes the story all about Joseph. Mary's kind of the co-star. But in here in Luke, it's all about Mary. And it's very obvious that Mary is surprised. In her song, which we call the Magnificat, which is a little later in Luke, Mary calls herself the lowliest of servants. Mary is asking, "Why are you coming to me? I don't understand. I'm not important." How often do we think that about ourselves? How often do we just keep a low profile? Don't do much to get any attention. And we can stay just below the radar, and not much will be expected of us. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't think Mary in any way was trying to avoid God's calling for herself. But we sometimes do, don't we? We sometimes avoid hearing God's word. We would rather just be able to do what we want to do rather than having to really do something important. So Mary's surprise at the angel is understandable. I picture in my mind, and really in just about every painting I've ever seen, I picture Mary as a small, young, dressed in tattered clothing, very petite woman. But you know what? Mary had to be one strong woman. She had to have known that her life from that moment on was going to be not just difficult, but she had to prepare herself to be criticized by the entire community. An unmarried woman expecting a child that she says is conceived from God? I wonder, did Mary have an option? I mean, she agrees. She says, "Here I am." But what if she had said, "No way"? I think she did have a say in this. I think we all have an option when God calls us. And let's face it, I haven't been visited by an angel and asked to do anything near as difficult as Mary. But she was ready. She was prepared. I don't know if she had been preparing and waiting all of her life or if she was just living her day-to-day faith. But she was ready. I can't begin to imagine what fear must have raced through her very being. What would her family say? Would she be disowned? Would she be on her own to face this incredible responsibility? What amazing faith she must have had. Or maybe she was just in shock and it would all flood her later. I had an interesting discussion last Sunday with our ministry council about faith. Mary could say, "Here I am, use me," because her faith was strong. What do we do today on faith? Do we live on faith? Or do we live on fact? Do we need things that we can see and that we can measure in order to move forward? Are we a faithful church? Do we step out on faith? Do we really, deep down in our being, do we really believe all of this? Do we believe we're doing what God wants us to do? Do we really believe God can and will grow this church? Do we really believe God can and will grow the big church? As Kevin calls it, the Big C Church. Do we really believe that? Is that what we really want? Or do we want to fly under the radar so we won't be called to do something big, something difficult, something important? Can this really be? When Mary asked that, can this really be? What was the angel's response? With God, all things are possible. That's a tough one, isn't it? Things didn't look good for Mary. She had to know that most everyone would turn away from her. Her family, Joseph, her community, even the world. But she said, here am I. Because all things are possible. If we look at the statistics in our world, it doesn't look very good, does it? War is rampant. Hunger is growing every day. The homeless population grows every day. Those who make a true living wage is lower than ever. Those in our world living in fear, those without proper health care. It goes on and on. It's hard in our world. How can this be? How can things get better? How do we hope for our children and our grandchildren? Do we really have faith that all things are possible with God? Things in our church are hard. When we look at the statistics, it doesn't look good. Pledges are down. Giving is okay, but not what we need in order to do everything that we need to do. We're working on ways to use the building more. Some people might want to check it in. But I can't help but believe that God is not finished with Highland Park. Can I say that again? I can't help but believe that God is not finished with Highland Park. Thank you. I'm going to say it one more time. I can't help but believe that God is not finished with Highland Park Baptist Church.
Amen.
Amen. All things are possible. All things are possible. But it requires that we join together and that we muster up enough faith that we believe that we have a purpose. That God chose us to do the work. No promises that it would be easy. No promises that we won't be ridiculed or criticized or ostracized. That's not part of the deal. But we have to make room in our lives for God to work. I can't help but think about the hospital waiting room. I've spent lots of time in hospital waiting rooms. I've spent some time with some of you. I've spent some time with family members. I've even had a couple of really hard hours myself waiting for Roy's doctors to come out and talk to me. It's hard to sit in a hospital waiting room and not run scenarios through your mind. What if this happens, or what if this happens? And you try to distract yourself with conversation and with movement, but ultimately you have to wait until the process is complete and the doctor is free to come in and share what's going on. The fear of the situation doesn't lessen, but there is absolutely nothing you can do to rush the moment. It's not unlike that with God. I'm guessing Mary was shaking with fear, with so many questions she did not know how to answer. I'm sure she ran scenarios through her head and asked question after question, thinking, "What have I done?" Who knows what Mary really went through the next 9 months? We don't really know. We know that she had the support of Elizabeth and ultimately of Joseph. But beyond that, we don't really know. But at that moment, at that time, when the angel approached her, she was ready and her faith was strong. And there was room enough in her mind to know that all things were possible with God. Have you made room this Advent season to wait? That is my prayer for each and every one of us, that we be open this Advent season to waiting for God to call us. And may we have the faith to know that it's possible, that everything, anything, all things are possible if we're open to God's movement in our lives and if we make the room to wait. Amidst the fear, not knowing what will happen, not knowing how the world will respond, but making room for God to arrive and to work in our lives.